Do take a seat. Well, that was amazing, wasn't it? That takes me back a few years as well. I'm not sure I've sung some of them since I was in the Methodist church circuit a few years back. Brilliant. So coming back to our reading from Luke chapter 24, and I've called this the journey home. This is just such a beautiful passage. It never fails to stir my heart. We're being told about the Sunday that's the third day after the day of Jesus' crucifixion. That crucifixion that rocked the world of those first disciples. For 3 years, those disciples, those learners, had followed Jesus around. They'd listened to his amazing teaching. They'd watched him give the blind sight, make the deaf hear, heal the lepers, make the paralyzed walk, even raise the dead. He's challenged the authorities and leaders, and in anger and jealousy, they handed him over to be crucified. For Jesus' followers, such heartbreak and such disappointment. But hang on a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's walk with the disciples in this story of movement. They set off from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 7 miles away. They're probably returning to their home after the Passover in Jerusalem and everything that's happened there. And we're told they're talking together about all these things that have happened when Jesus himself draws near, close by, and walks alongside them. But they're prevented from knowing who he is. It's as if their eyes of knowing are held closed, so they don't recognize him. So he walks with them, and he asks them what they're talking about. And they stop. They stand still. Their faces downcast, gloomy. They're a little surprised that anyone could not know what's been happening. Well, of course, Jesus does know, really. But isn't this so like our loving Saviour, our tender, caring shepherd? He invites them to tell him all about what's been happening. He invites them to share how they feel, what they think about it, the impact it's had on them. I wonder how many of you have learnt to appreciate the value of a person who really listens to you. Or how many of you have really learnt to listen to other people. In such times of disappointment and heartache, how precious is a good listener. And Jesus is the greatest listener. And so they recount their opinion and their understanding of Jesus of Nazareth. I wonder what you'd say if you were asked, what do you think about Jesus? What do you make of his life and his death? These two and their companions have been with Jesus for over 3 years. They haven't really understood, but they tell Jesus what they do think. And this is what they say. Jesus was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and before all the people. Oh, yes, the teaching, the miracles, the fame, the acclaim, the crowds that gathered and listened. They brought their sick to him. He fed the multitudes. He did it physically. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Wow. Spiritually, with incredible parables and stories. They've had such a time with him. And then it's all ended. It's all ended with him being handed over by their very own Jewish chief priests and rulers. They've handed him over and had him crucified. How now? Now how? How can he now be the one that will redeem Israel as they'd hoped? A redeemer, one that pays the full ransom to set a person free from an alien or an enemy ownership, in this case, Satan. and restores them back to their rightful owner, in this case, God. Redeemer, dead. No being set free then. Hope's dashed. I wonder what you do when you face a bitter disappointment because something has not worked out as you'd hoped, especially something as critical as this. I don't know what you'd do, but this story teaches us that Jesus is right there beside them. And he'd be always right there beside us if only our eyes are open to see. He promises he will never leave us or forsake us. There is always hope and purpose and a future and a redeemer in Christ. Well, Cleopas and his companion are probably heading home, back to where they usually live, their original life. But is there a way back or onwards after all the pain of what's just happened? Let's continue on the road home with them. They continue their story. Now they tell what's happened on this, the third day after Christ's death, the day of resurrection, as we now call it. The women went to the tomb in the morning to anoint Jesus' dead body, but they didn't find a body. I don't know if any of you watched the Pathfinders drama Easter Sunday. Anyone here? Some of us particularly like Dime's part, because in the drama, he chooses to play the character that is Jesus, because he says, "I won't have any spoken lines if I'm Jesus." But lo and behold, he has some spoken lines, and he's most confused because he says, "Jesus is dead. How can I have words to say?" How indeed. The first disciples seem equally confused. How could the body not be there? Jesus is dead. They've seen him crucified. They've seen him laid in the tomb. They've seen the stone was rolled over the entrance. And yet the women come back and say angels have told them that Jesus was alive. I think it's interesting that it's the women. Women witnesses were not actually acceptable in Jewish courts of law. So it's amazing that the women are chosen to be the first to witness to these world-changing events. Some of their male companions, though, go and check out the women's story. They want to see for themselves. And they find the tomb, just as the woman said, empty. No sign of Jesus, though. Don't you sense a touch of maybe humour or irony with this whole story? Because here is Jesus walking beside them and they're telling him all this. Jesus has heard their tale of woe and their tale of confusion. How will Jesus, not actually dead, walking beside them, respond to them? He says, "How foolish." Ignorant, without knowledge, stupid, slow of heart you are to believe all the prophets have spoken. Do you think Jesus is sighing or just feeling deep compassion at their tale? Patiently, he goes on and he interprets, explains thoroughly to them from all their Old Testament scriptures, Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the books of the prophets, all the references to himself, Jesus. That must have been an amazing discourse, mustn't it? And they get near Emmaus and they urge Jesus, they compel him, it means almost like twist his arm to stay with them. To abide with them. And Jesus readily does so. It's late. It's not a time to be going on your own. Anyway, he's come to be with them. He longs to be with all of his people and help us grow in him. He longs to teach us and widen our understanding. He longs just to be with us if we'll only give him chance. So he reclines at the table and he takes bread. And he gives thanks, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. Poof. And then their eyes are opened. What a moment that must have been for them when they suddenly realise who they've been walking with. They've been on a journey of understanding with him as they've walked the road from Jerusalem. They've begun with their own accounts and fears and feelings and disappointments. And now, as he breaks the bread and gives it to them, they realise not just who he was, but who he is. The incredible truth now dawns on them. Jesus has just so patiently explained to them from the scriptures with their hearts burning that the Christ had to suffer these things and die and then come back to life and enter his glory. Why did Jesus have to die? We heard from Pauline, from one of the children. Yeah, broken for me, broken for you. The body of Jesus, broken for you. The bread of life, the one who invites us to communion with him. So having reached Emmaus on a slow journey of understanding, these companions of Jesus in the past turn around suddenly and they race back to Jerusalem. And it's night by now, as we know from earlier. But they tear straight back the 7 miles because they want to tell all the others they have seen Jesus alive. And they're excited, no doubt. And so the whole journey is a bit like an act of worship. They've shared their lives with Jesus. They've shared what they understand. And then they've listened to him interpret his word, the scriptures. That would be our Bible today. They've had communion with him in bread and wine. And we do that too. We break the bread. We drink the blood that's been shed for us, and we proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. And so there, renewed and refreshed, we too, after worship, are renewed and refreshed, and we go back into our daily lives and we witness to others what we've seen, what we've heard. Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, Jesus comes again. I wonder where you are on the journey home, on the journey to know Jesus better, on the journey to have intimate fellowship and communion with him as we take his body and his blood. Wherever you are, he's beside you. Wherever you are, he's waiting to share the next step with you if you'll let him. He wants to come and be with you, with us, and teach us and lead us into a place of ever-growing understanding and worship and witness. Because he is not dead. So let's start now with the thing that we began with. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. And we're going to move.